Let me give you just a few things about our speaker today. As professor of Bible exposition, Dr. Bayless is in his 21st year of teaching full-time here at DTS. And in addition, he is a conference speaker and adjunct professor with Word of Life International at their conference center, Bible Institute, both in the United States and abroad. Dr. Bayless, his wife Sharon, have been married for 38 years. I want to mention this, and I believe some things will be projected for you here as I talk about this. His specialty is the literary study of books of the Bible, particularly narrative and epistolary, and how they contribute to the biblical story. And along that line, Dr. Bayless and the mega church where he is a member and where he ministers have produced a video series of the Bible story. In 14 30 to 40 minute sessions, he explains the simple story of the Bible, the meta narrative that shows how, from the beginning, it was the Father's desire to enthrone his Son, Jesus, as ruler in Jerusalem over the whole earth. And these videos are now used around the world and are available to anyone to be streamed for free and can be used by biblical studies, homeschools, pastor and missionary training, or simply for individual Bible study. And they're accessible at www.biblicalstory.org. Would you welcome with me Dr. Charles Bayless?
Just a word about that website. It was created primarily because Dr. Pentecost, of course, who has gone to be with the Lord. Do you ever wonder what he's doing right now? Crosses my mind all the time. I was fortunate to be blessed by not just his teaching, but the man himself, as he loved Jesus. He taught a course, Kingdom and Covenants, which was the story of the Bible, and then I taught it as well. And so this is the narrative, and when I taught it, students would say things like, you know, this seemed to be the foundation, it'd be nice if we had a first course in this, that kind of thing. But they said, you know, it'd be nice if my friends could come. So this was produced by one of my students who was a pastor at the church that I went to. And so we produced a 14 video series that takes you through the story of the Bible. Now, it's not the little story by story type thing. It shows you the complete story. And so it's being used. It's been put out there. It's free. We don't even take your email because we don't want anybody to be deterred from it. You just press the play button and go. And they use it homeschools and missionaries, and it's being translated and things like that. So that's it. You just press the button. You don't have to email me or anything like that. And for biblical training, but particularly so you see Jesus from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation. So anyway, could I ask how many of you are new this summer to the seminary? Okay, well, we have a couple. Okay, good. Well, as Bill says, you know, I think I've never gotten over it from when I first entered seminary. I think Dr. Pond entered the same time I did. And boy, those were some great days. They're still great days, but boy, those were great days. 1 year old child and his mom and, you know, and me. And she was taking care of him. You know how it is with moms. They spend most of their time with children trying to get through that part of life. But anyway, and we were here, and I'll tell you, I remember thinking it was so wonderful to think about God all day long. That was nice. And this place is exactly as Bill said. There isn't another place like this, and the Lord is here as we study the Scriptures. What I want to do today is talk about, you know, I love the Gospels. You know, I love walking with Jesus down those dusty paths. And so I want to take you to Luke 17 today. And I want to take you to Luke 17, 11, and I want to talk about 10 lepers. Let me just read it to you. And it came about, Luke 17, 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about, as they were going, that they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." Now, years ago, I teach the Gospels fairly regularly, and I love to. And years ago, I heard a sermon, and the sermon was on the 10 lepers, and it was how to give thanks. Always remember to give thanks. And I thought, well, you know, that's a nice thing to do. But, you know, teaching the Gospels, I said, they're always about Jesus. It's got to have something to do with Jesus. So it was one that I had kind of passed through when I taught the Gospels, decided I better go back there and figure it out. So I did. So this is what I found. And I'll give you the summary of it. And the way I do it is I say, well, let's find out what the story means by interviewing these 10 lepers a year after they had been healed. And let's see what they said. So here we have, and we've got them gathered there, and we have the 9 lepers standing there, and we interview them. And we ask them, we say, "What was the greatest day of your life?" And the 9 lepers answer this. They say, "It was the day I was healed from leprosy. Changed my life. I couldn't greet people. They couldn't come to my house. I was on a separate colony. It just was unbelievable. I didn't have any friends. I mean, people avoided me. I couldn't go to the synagogue, couldn't go to the temple, couldn't go anywhere. I was an outcast. My life was death. And that moment changed my life because now I'm living in a nice home. People can come visit me. I go to the temple. I go to the synagogue. The day I was healed, that was the greatest day of my life." Now, before I go to interviewing the 10th leper, I want to just talk a little bit about the background in Luke that precedes this so we can kind of get a running start into it before we interview the 10th leper. And what I want to say is, as I teach Gospels, one of the things that triggered me when I heard this sermon on giving thanks was the issue that the Gospels are all about Jesus. Now, I've told this story before, and I tell it to every Gospels class. I was teaching on a campus in Austin, at Dallas Seminary in Austin, and one of the students, when I was teaching Gospels, he was trying to figure out how it was all about Jesus. And he says, "Well, Doc," he says, "can you kind of give me a bullet? What are the Gospels about? Can you just give me that central bullet?" And I said, "Yeah, let me tell you a little story." And I told him a story of when I was a little kid. And I said, you know, I used to go to this little Sunday school class, and they had little chairs. And I'd go in there, and there would be the 135-year-old woman. Everybody was 135 to me. I was 8 years old. You know, she was probably 22. You know, but anyway, so I went in there, and she would pull out the flannel graph, and she would put up the scene of Galilee, and she would put Jesus up there, and she would put the lame man there, and then she would take the lame man down, and she would put him up walking off with his cot on his head. And I would say, I'd go home, and I'd think something like this: that Jesus, he's really something. I said, that's it. That's it. When you come out of the Gospels, you should be in awe of the one you read about. He's not like you. He's God. He's different. He's unique. And you should be in awe. And that's the application of the Gospels. And if you don't see that, you've missed it. So coming back to the 10 lepers, I said, it must be about Jesus. Now let me just take you back a little bit in Luke. Let's go back to Luke 5. And I'm going to move through these very quickly for the sake of time. But in Luke 5, we have this miracle of the fish. Peter's fishing, you know, and he fished all night. And the Lord comes, and of course they've got so many fish, they can't pull them all in. And in 5:8, Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." You know, you get a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of the Savior. That's what it does to you. You say, "I'm unworthy." You don't go around and say, "Well, look what I've done, you know. Got this ministry going on, you know, I'm doing pretty good here." You know, no. You feel unworthiness. But the Lord will pick you up. He will do it. And then, of course, the next one is, interestingly enough, a leper, and Jesus touches him, and so the song, "He touched me." And you know, you hear things like, you need do. They read this and they say, "Okay, you need to be touching people." I say, "Well, you probably don't want to touch a leper." See, Jesus is different. Now, I'm all for touching and care and things like that. Don't get me wrong, but Jesus is different. You see, nobody had ever touched a leper without being unclean. That's the problem, is it made you unclean. See, and when Jesus touched him, he reversed everything. The clean made the unclean clean. That had never happened before. See, it used to be all the rituals of the Old Testament that you had to go through to get clean again. See, Jesus is replacing all those. It's now in a man, and he touches him, and he's clean. So then you move to the next story, and that's where they come in verse 17, and they... verse 18, they are carrying a man in a bed, and they lower him down through the roof. And this is interesting because Jesus, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're waiting for him to heal this man. And Jesus says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Boy, that'll really throw them, right? They're ready for a healing. He says, "Your sins are forgiven them." And they're going, "What's going on here?" And they make the statement, and they say, "Who is this man," in verse 21, "who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Who is this man that forgives sins? Now, by the way, he says, so that you can see that I can forgive sins, because you can't tell. Anybody can say your sins are forgiven you, and you don't really know if they're forgiven or not. So he says, so that you know that I can forgive sins, I'm going to heal this man. In other words, I didn't come to heal. Now, I do heal, and I do help. He says, but that wasn't my purpose. My purpose is to forgive sins. And he says, so you can see that I'm going to heal him. But you see, they say, who is this man? And then we move along over in chapter 7 towards the end, and I'll just talk about it. You know, the sinner woman who comes, and she is at his feet in Simon the Pharisee's house, and she's crying, and she's wiping his feet with her tear, wiping her feet with her hair because she's crying. And Jesus says, the one who is forgiven much loves much. And at the end of it, in verse 49 of chapter 7, they say, who is this man who forgives sins? Now, if you go on to chapter 10, and again, I'm going to move quickly, there's this statement in verse 10:24, where Jesus says to the disciples, he says, "Prophets and kings wish to see the things that you see, and did not see them, and hear the things which you hear, and did not hear them." What's he talking about? He said, "I am here. God in man, come to redeem the unworthy, is here." Jesus. Well, if you go to the end of the chapter, of course, you have the story of Mary and Martha, which illustrates that, right? Martha's over there doing all kinds of wonderful things. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, my mother never could get used to that. She says, I just can't, that one doesn't make sense to me, because my mother was, you know, a good Christian mother. She was praying and doing all the things and taking care of the house and all those kinds of things. She said, it never made sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to you until you get it. Jesus is everything. And he was right there. And Mary wasn't going to miss it. You see, today we got all this other things going on and we forget about the man who came to forgive sins. Well, we go on and go now to Luke 17. So I'm all the way back. That was a quick tour. So we go to Luke 17, you see, and we've come through all this. Who is this man? You see, and Luke is about this man. Prophets and kings long to see. The Old Testament, they long to see the Messiah that they had known about and seen in the Scriptures. And now he was here. And Mary says, I'm not going to miss this. You see, we don't do enough sitting at Jesus' feet, do we? No, we're busy with everything else and this kind of thing. And we want to be in the Scriptures. We want to look at the Savior and fall in love with him. Now I go to the 10 lepers. And you remember we had interviewed 9 of them. And the 9 had said, and we'll replay that, they asked him what the greatest day of their life was. And they said, it was the day I was healed from my leprosy. Changed everything. I now have a life. I didn't have one. And we interviewed the 10th. And he says, the greatest day of my life was the day I met the man who could heal leprosy. The greatest day of my life was the day I met the man who could forgive sins. And that day continues every day. There's an old song. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth.